Good morning.
Good morning.
You're soaking up this nice cool air in here?
Yes.
How many have been sleeping without air conditioning for a few nights? Anyone still sleeping without air conditioning?
I felt the night.
Has everyone finally got their power back on?
No.
No? You guys?
Generator.
Remote and Dan. Are Mo and Dan the only ones without power?
That's awesome. No, that is. That's awesome. It's great. It's a beautiful thing. I was going to say, did your
finger melt? Well, we're going to pray especially hard today for the power to be on when you get back home from church, okay?
I like that.
All right. We're going to say special prayers today. Healing of the power grid is going to have today, so... But anyway, I've talked to a lot of folks, and everyone seems to have weathered the storm fine. I think we were so blessed that the storm missed us, and when it misses us, it impacts others. So we need to be in prayer for those folks in the Keys and up the west coast of Florida, all the way up into Georgia, I guess, is where Irma has left her mark on us. So, but anyway, we've got a lot going on in the life of your church. The power did not come back on here until Thursday, so we've been all week without power here, which has limited what we've been able to try to do. As you can see, we've lost two of our big trees, have gone down. We've sustained more roof damage and leaks around our steeple down there. We have quite a bit of water damage in the narthex back there. It's sort of dried up and taking care of itself, but we're going to add to our roof claim and hopefully can get some action now. I called the adjuster. Sunday this week, I can't tell what day it was, and he said, well, good, maybe this will get you a new roof now if you've had additional damage, so let's just be in prayer that these roofs can be taken care of, because now we've really got some issues that definitely need our prayers and be taken care of, so keep that in your prayers as well. A lot of other things going on. You see a few of the bottles coming back here. The poor baby bottle boomerang, I have a feeling First Care is really going to be gapping up these baby bottles for the next 6 months, and it's the worst time for them to be trying to do a fundraiser. But continue to bring them in. If anyone's got them, go ahead and bring it up and put it on the table here this morning as well. And we'll try to continue that. I hope that we can get them all in. You have some more back there, Ken? Oh, are they full? Okay, we'll bring them up and we'll place them here and grab them there. And you'll see in your offering today as well, in your bulletin, that the special offering envelope of Umcor. I think Carolyn went in and updated it and said Hurricane Harvey and Irma. So we'll continue to gather and collect money for that as well. There's a lot of ways for us to outreach to those affected by the hurricane through Umcor. Of course, the flood buckets, the update on the flood buckets, we are going to do flood buckets. I've received message from our disaster coordinator, and they want us to hold the flood buckets at our church in case someone here locally, because a lot of that stuff that went to Texas has turned right around now and come back to Florida. So they want us to hold the flood buckets for the time being, and if we see need here locally, that we can distribute them as well. But what they really need now, and this is in addition to the flood buckets, is the hygiene kits. You've seen the notice for those as well. That's washcloths and toothpaste and soap and things for people just to clean themselves up with. So there's a big need for that as well. So we'll talk about that among the leaders, the women and stuff that have been handling the flood buckets as well. Maybe we can do some hygiene kits as well for that. So keep your eyes open. What I would say is, if you have supplies, I know this is changing things up, but people have things that they can bring. Let's just let the church be a clearinghouse. The food bank, Palm Beach County Food Bank, and a lot of Methodist churches already have taken food down to the Keys. They've asked us to collect non-perishables and water as well. You see, the manager from Publix said, if you bring this stuff back to Publix, people rush out before the storm and buy all these supplies and then bring them back to Publix and want their money back. The manager says those go straight to dumpster. They are not allowed to give those to charity. So the recommendation is to take them somewhere to your local church and donate them, and people can use them. So if you're taking stuff back to Publix to get your money back, That stuff goes right in the dumpster and no one gets any use for it. I guess Publix being Publix will give you your money back and then they throw it away. But if you have things, now the caveat to that is we've got Maria out there. Maria? There's Maria just came in. Well, we've got Hurricane Maria out there bearing down on us now, so we've got to keep track of that. So I understand if you have water and the things you bought for Irma, you're probably going to want to hold on to it. If you've got anything extra that you would like to get rid of, bring it to the church. We'll have a place in the fellowship hall, and we will be collecting this week food items, water, whatever it is that you would like to donate, non-perishables. We will be doing that as well through the Palm Beach County Food Bank. The flood bucket, Encore, hygiene kits, Palm Beach County Food Bank, 85 boomerang. Well, we got a lot going on. The flood buckets as well. Send Benjamin Murchie and Nancy Geddes for that as well. Information on that. They're the ones heading that up, so be sure and speak to them. Just a reminder as well, this Wednesday, and I think this is something we certainly all can use, we'll have our prayer service and communion here at 6 o'clock on Wednesday evening, so please come out and join us for that as well. And our Bible study will resume this Wednesday as well, so we'll try to get the life of our church back in operation here and start getting back on track. We still have no phone service or internet in the office. Carolyn has gone on vacation. She left at 5 a.m. this morning for a train trip across Canada. And she's going to be gone for about 10 days. We have people volunteering in the office to man the office. But if we have no phones or internet, what are they going to do but sit there and read a book? So we're going to have to evaluate that day by day. And hopefully we'll get phone service up. On Friday, when we were calling about it, they said 24 to 48 hours. So it's now been 48 hours. And we still have no phone or internet. But we will continue to work on that this week. So, Jane, are you scheduled to be there tomorrow? Tuesday? Teresa's tomorrow. Teresa will help. So I'll have to get... Is Teresa not here today?
Yes, she's here.
Oh, she's over at the Thursday. Okay. But you may try to get a hold of the church office, and there may not be any phone service. So just bear with us, and we'll have that up and get going as soon as we can. So we're trying to get things back to normal as soon as possible. Be sure to fill out your Connect card. The first thing on the list, I forgot to say, but drop your Connect card in the envelope, in the offering plate that comes around this morning. If you have any special needs or anything, if you want to talk to me directly or whatever, we'll try to do our best to take care of folks. A lot of people checked in with me. My only line of communication has been my cell phone this week because of all the other stuff that's not working. So I pray I haven't heard where anybody has needed any special help or assistance with anything, but be sure and let the church know if there's any way we can be of help to you. So communications are a little tough right now. I'm ready to worship the Lord. We missed last Sunday. That was weird not being in church last Sunday. That's why the entire week, I don't know what day of the week it is. So I'm ready to worship. So let's prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning.
Please stand and join us in singing Footsteps of Jesus. They'll be on the PowerPoint. Sing to God for mercy and grace.
Sing praise to God and laughter and joy.
For our God is mighty and strong, protecting the lowly from the anger of the oppressor.
Our God is righteous and just, saving the weak from the cruelty of the powerful.
Sing to God for mercy and grace.
Sing praise to God for laughter and joy.
Our hymn selection this morning shall be, O God, our help in ages past, verses 1 through 4 and 6. It's found in your hymnal, number 117, and also projected above.
Thank you.
school?
Yes, I've been out of school for a week and a half.
A week and a half? Is everyone happy about that?
No, the power's been out, right?
If you're out of school and the power's out, that's sort of a bummer, isn't it? Well, you can't have everything. Well, what I was going to ask you today is, we've all been through Hurricane Irma, right? And you still have the power? Whole week you've been without power? Wow. Well, that's been tough. We went out west of town and spent a couple of days with some friends, and their power went out, and I had to sleep two nights in the heat. I came home Tuesday morning to our house, and our clocks hadn't even flickered. So those 2 days we were sweating. No one was in our house enjoying the nice cool air. So what I want to ask you today is, I want to hear how you've been blessed this week because of the storm. As bad as the storm was, and you've been without power and your games and all of those things, tell me of a blessing you had this week.
No school.
No school was a blessing. Well, you did survive, so that's good. Destiny, do you know a blessing that you had this week? That you normally wouldn't have gotten in a normal week? I bet you if you think hard enough, you can come up with a way you have been blessed this week. Have you all been blessed this week?
Yes.
We've been blessed with the camping spirit. I'll never look at camping again in the same way. All of those tornado warnings. Whose phone went crazy on Sunday night with tornado warnings? After a while, I was hoping for a tornado. Please, just have a tornado and quit sending us messages every 5 minutes. So what I wanted to say was, we were blessed this week by having a hurricane, weren't we? That sounds crazy, doesn't it? A little bit crazy? Well, your pastor's a little bit crazy. We all know that. But in the midst of this hurricane, there were blessings. Now, I'm sure for many of you, and I'm looking at Mo right now, because Mo's neighbors, they're really nice, and they've been a blessing. And I know Mo and Dan have been blessings to their neighbors as well. But isn't it funny how in the midst of disaster, we're blessed? Doesn't it make you feel good to help someone? So you are a blessing to someone, and in turn, someone has been a blessing to you this week. So even in the midst of this, not so bad for us, but it's been inconvenient for us this week, there were blessings all around. You know, as soon as the storm was over, we saw people loading trucks with food and taking food and supplies down to the Keys where they were really hurt, and over on the West Coast. So as soon as something bad happens, people want to help, don't they? And we want to help, right? And when we help someone by being a blessing to someone, we get a blessing in return. So what I want us to remember this week, as we go forward and school starts tomorrow, yippee! When you're in school, think of what a blessing this hurricane has been, right? Right? Because we were blessed that we didn't have more damage to our homes. We were inconvenienced that we didn't have electricity for our air conditioner. But you know what? We survived and God has blessed us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we do thank you that we weathered the storm that was permanent. Father, we pray today that our lives would get back to normal. And that we would see the blessings every day, not just when times of hurricane and tragedy in our lives, but everyday times. When we can live with one another and love one another and be all you've called us to be. Father, we love you and we thank you for keeping us safe. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Awesome. My prayer just then was about without inconvenience. And I'm the first one to admit this. I love air conditioning. I love TV. How do you get your hurricane updates if you don't have a TV? And we do have hurricanes out there looming over the horizon. I think the lesson to take from this is there's always a storm somewhere, isn't there? In our lives, we can't get away from them. If it's not a hurricane, it's illness.
Yes.
It's the loss of a loved one.
Yes.
It's financial trouble. It's relationship troubles. Maybe we should give those troubles names as well. Sometimes they have names, don't they?
Yes.
It's a time in our service when we go before the Lord in prayer. And I want us to obviously be in prayer for those affected by the hurricane. And those that are now struggling to put their lives back in order. The Jarvises this morning has given me an update on some of their family down in the islands, St. Thomas and Virgin Islands, and different places that they've had some total devastation in a lot of those places. So we want to lift them up as well. That money you give towards UMCOR will go to help everyone. That money is spread out, and 100% of that money will go to help the victims of the hurricane. So feel generous in your giving towards UMCOR as well, and then we can help locally as well with food and items that we'll prepare for them. But let's keep everyone in prayer that's been affected by Hurricane Irma and Harvey as well, as Texas continues to try to put their lives back in order. But we also have many on our list today that are undergoing treatment for disease and illness and chemotherapies and heart problems and stroke victims. So we need to just continue to pray for one another that our strength holds out through these trying times. Here are these people that are being lifted up. Donna Harris, I spoke with her this week. She's going to have her hip replaced again, that one that she had. On September 27th, she'll be having a revision surgery, which means completely replacing that joint. So keep Donna in your prayers. This has just been going on for months and months, and almost a year with her knee as well. We continue to pray for Ruthie. Ruthie, you look like you're doing pretty well. Ruthie's going to go out and visit Donna today. So, Ruthie, we continue to pray for you as well. We continue to pray for Albert Jordan. Albert's not with us today, but he's, I think, on his third round of chemotherapy treatments this week. So keep him in your prayers. Of course, we continue to pray for Ann Spear, Barbara Russell's daughter, and Robin. There's been a little bit of going on with that as well. More testing and looking into things like that. But right now, we're looking now into the first part of October for possible surgery for them. So continue to be in prayer for Robin and Ann and just that entire family as well. Sharon Ryukas is lifting up her brother Jim this morning, whose condition is worsening, and he is in a place without air conditioning now, so that's not a good scenario for him. Keep Jim, Sharon's brother, in your prayers. Ruthie's lifting up her brother Paul Rawson with health issues this morning. We're praying for Seth Hagen, that he can just have God's protection about him as well. But Mercy lifts up her nephew Chad and his team. He works for Border Patrol, but he's been deployed down to the Keys to help out down there. So Chad and his Border Patrol group that is down there serving as well. And McCartney lifts up Ike Tatum. He's a friend of both Calgary and Lakeside, who passed away on Wednesday. So if you know Ike Tatum, should be in today's newspaper and shares. The Krugers lift up their friend Barbara Brannick, who has passed away last night, and pray for their family for this time of grieving as well. Folks, we bring many things to the table this morning, to the foot of the cross. So let's go before the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we do have so many things to be thankful for this morning. Father, we pray that on this coast you spared, that the hurricane has spared us the destruction that we see in the Keys, in throughout the Caribbean and up the west coast of Florida and central Florida. So, Father, for that we're grateful. But there are many who are suffering the ill effects of this storm. And we are lifting them up to you today. Father, where elderly has been without air conditioning, Father, I pray where the elderly and the sick could soon be back under the comforts of air conditioning and the comfort and care of their caregivers. So, Father, those lifted up by name today, I lift them to you. And those that are only in our hearts today, Lord, and not spoken out loud, we know that you know who they are as well. Father, we continue to pray for those suffering with diseases and illness and injury, Lord, for healing, for hip replacements, for chemotherapy treatments, for medication regulations to handle heart disease and blood pressure, those that have suffered a stroke. Father, we pray today that you hear all of our pleas, and we know that you do. So, Father, as we come to this place today, we are so grateful that we are allowed to be here and have church today. Last Sunday seemed so strange that we didn't gather as a community of hope and faith, and the family of God did not come together in unity. Father, today the message that I will bring is about unity, not only in the church, but unity outside these walls. Father, there's many needs today, many places in the world that are suffering under conflict, where war ravages innocent civilians and children. Father, today we come as a people of hope. We come as a people who trusts and believes in a God that will not abandon us. So, Father, as the storms of the hurricanes ravaged around us, we felt the peace and comfort of your loving arms. So, Father, today I'm grateful. I'm grateful for these people, a people of love and unity. I'm grateful for this place that has withstood and weathered another storm and is here to serve your kingdom. So, Father, give us guidance, give us discernment, give us the strength and willpower to reach out to those that need a hand today. Father, we love you. We know that you love us. And we're grateful for that exchange. So, Father, be with us now as we pray together. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
Find it truly amazing that when I do select the verse, that it fits right in with the theme, what we're speaking of in the singing and the voices that we lift up to the Lord. Did you know that God rejoices and sings over us? And it said so in His Word. It's found in Zephaniah for chapter 3, verse 17, where he says here, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing." With our hearts filled with singing, let us bring forth our gifts and offerings to our Lord in Christ Jesus, so that God shall work miracles of hope through our giving and our living. Will the ushers please now come forward?
Thank you.
scripture this morning comes from Romans 14, verses 1 through 12. I hear these words this morning. Welcome the person who is weak in faith, but not in order to argue about differences of opinion. One person believes in eating everything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. I'll explain in a minute. My wife's leaving. You sit down, man. You'll be good. Where was I? Oh, yeah, where the weak person only eats vegetables. Those who eat must not look down on the ones who don't. And the ones who don't eat must not judge the ones who do, because God has accepted them there. Who are you to judge someone else's servants? They stand or fall before their own Lord, and they will stand because the Lord has the power to make them stand. One person considers some days to be more sacred than others, while another person considers all days to be the same. Each person must have their own convictions. Someone who thinks that a day is sacred thinks that way for the Lord. Those who eat, eat for the Lord because they thank God. And those who don't eat for the Lord. And they thank the Lord too. We don't live for ourselves, and we don't die for ourselves. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we belong to God. This is why Christ died and lived, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you look down on your brother or sister? We all will stand in front of the judgment seat of God, because it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me, every tongue will give praise to God." So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, what powerful words this morning. Now let us make sense of them. Father, bless the message this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I've stirred up a hornet's nest already this morning. If with no one else, my wife. Unity in the church. When was the last time you felt real unity within the body of Christ? Do you feel it every Sunday when you come here? Do you feel that we all come here with the same agenda? Do we all come here being of the same opinion as those sitting next to us? Preachers pray for that daily, but it does not happen. And then preachers say, "God, let me accept them for who they are. And let me love them, even if they don't if they don't agree with me." You know, this hurricane, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we had church, and we were talking about Hurricane Harvey. And wasn't it wonderful that the people of the nation rallied around the people of Houston and South Texas? We loved them no matter what. We were there for them. We took a special offering. And I believe it was, Barbara, correct me if I'm wrong, around $1,800. Is that what it was?
$1,184.
You weren't quite as good as I'm giving you credit for. $1,184 in one Sunday offering to help those that need some help. We've taken a special offering today. My point of that is, we want to help. Now, when you wrote your check to UNCOR, did you make a note on the message line that says, "Do not give it to those people, though"? You can give it to these people, but don't give it to those people. Did any of us do that? You better not raise your hand. Here's where I always want people to participate. If you raise your hand now, I have to come and slap you in front of everyone. because that's not who we are as a people of God. We're here to help people. It doesn't matter who they are. Chapter 14 in Romans today, you know, people ask me, oh boy, that was a perfect message. You must have just picked that one for this Sunday. Someone asked me today, are we going to do the one from last week that we missed that said the time is near? No, the time is not near anymore. It's gone. That time has come and passed. You will not get a do-over on any of my messages. That message last week was prepared 2 or 3 months in advance, and God said, that's what I want to speak to those folks about today. But you know what? You're not having church today. God didn't say, take that message and tell them that message next week. No, God said, you tell them this message this week. So when I don't use a message, you don't get a do-over. That one's gone. How appropriate is that? The time is near. The time is not near. It's come and gone. We move on. And today, I wonder, how is this message relevant to what we're going through this week? This scripture talks specifically, speaks to Satan and his attack on the unity of the church. We've got mature, strong believers, and we've got weak believers that don't know what they believe yet. And you know what? Those weak believers have an opinion too. We're going to break this scripture down, verse, line by line, and we're going to talk a little bit about it. Verse 1 said, welcome a person who is weak in faith, but not in order to argue with them about differences of opinion. Now we can say, well, you're a little weak in your faith, so why don't you come in here and let me convince you of what's right? Because I know it all. I'm a strong believer, and I can tell you what to believe. That's not what that is saying. We've been called to accept those both strong in faith and those that are not quite there yet. If they don't agree with us, we're not to say, shoot, get away. Leave me alone. You don't agree with me because I'm right. Now, I've heard that in the church before, have you? That's Satan trying to divide us. This warning is against being judgmental of others. Some translation, this difference of opinion is called doubtful things. When we judge others on our feelings, what does our tradition say? Oh, well, we've always done it that way. If someone wants to come in here and sing a different song that we haven't sung here before, blaspheme. Smite them. Go get some rocks. We'll stone them. Their point is valid. And they have chosen to worship God in a different way from us. So when our personal preferences, our traditions, our feelings tell us one thing, and I hate to say, human nature says, well, you're right, you know. You know, that tradition that you've always done in the church, well, you know, that's the only way you can do it. That is sowing discord in the church. When we have these events, these storms, whatever it is, these natural disasters, war, tragedy, disease in the world, we rally around and we like to be people of unity, don't we? Because I've never seen anyone that has gone to Texas to help or loaded up and drove supplies to the Keys. You have a big truck full of food. You pull over to the side of the road and says, only these people line up. The rest of you, go stand over there. There'll be another truck later for you. When we start doing that, we are not a people of God. We are a people of judgment. And as a people of God, we come together. Verse 2 says one person believes in eating everything while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let me tell you a story from Daniel. These weak people they talk about in this scripture is speaking directly to those who are considered weak in their faith because they refuse to let go of religious ceremonies and their traditions and their opinions and their personal preferences. It's not because they were vegetarians. It was because they were a people of rules and regulations. And it says we can't eat that. Going back to Daniel. You remember the story of Daniel, the one in the lion's den? He was a vegetarian. Remember that? Daniel 1:12 said, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. What did they do? They gave them vegetables and water. They couldn't have been happier, could they? That's what we want to eat. There was one of those folks with Daniel, the Gentile convert, that felt that eating meat would taint him because he was taught from pagans. The Jewish convert was going by the dietary laws of the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. The one who eats all things recognizes their liberty in Christ and in such displays a greater faith. Do you believe that? Because we believe God, Jesus Christ, has given us liberty, has given us choice. This scripture can be confusing. If we take it word for word, that Paul is speaking in terms of our faith, not about what we're eating. Pagan worshipers would offer animals as idols, and then they couldn't eat them. These early Christian believers, they would buy this meat very cheap and go home and have a feast. It's because they believed and they knew that Jesus Christ had set us free from those dietary laws, from the pagan worship rituals. They'd been taught not to do that. Verse 3 says, those who eat must not look down on the ones who don't. And the ones who don't eat must not judge the ones who do, because God has accepted them. That says to respect others' opinions. Take no account of what others are doing. It means simply that those of stronger faith does not give you the right to look down on another and to not take others' opinions into account. We are to respect even the babes in Christ. Have you ever experienced something in the life of your church where someone new comes into the church and we think, wow, what's their faith? What's their belief? And they've got a different idea. Do we respect their opinion and listen to them and say, hey, let's give it a try? Verse 14:4 says, who are you to judge someone else's servants? They will stand or fall before their own Lord, and they will stand because the Lord has the power to make them stand. Folks, what this is telling us is that God is the ultimate judge. As I've grown in my faith, I have become grateful that I am not the judge. I am not the judge. You know, we all have these things from our past, from how we were brought up, things that's made us who we are. That even I, as much as I don't want to, see something and make a judgment call on. Anyone do that? Anyone look at someone and say, I'd like to help, but you look like you got a problem. Yeah. We stand in judgment. God is the only one can stand in judgment. Sola Scriptura, Scripture only, should be the model for us. Too many times we allow our own traditions and opinions to overpower God's Word. Have you seen that in the church? People's opinions overpower the Word of God, the Bible. No, this is what I think it says. No, I believe it says this. Verse 5, one person considers some days to be more sacred than others, while another person considers all days to be the same. Each person must have their own convictions. Now, I like this, and I studied and I thought, and I meditated on this scripture for a while because some people go to church on Saturday. I think Sunday's a pretty special day to go to church. I like going to church on Sunday. But you know what? You can go to church on Monday or Thursday. You can go to church any day of the week. What makes that day of the week sacred for you is because you are convicted by God to make that your day of worship. If we've been convicted by the Word of God, by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit has convicted us of something, and we've prayed about it and discerned the true meaning of it, we're to respect others in that way. Who's been convicted by the Holy Spirit before? God has told me things when I said, God, are you nuts? That'll never work. God, we've tried that before. It didn't work. Kind of slapped you around a little bit. Because what I tell you about sassing me, that's what my mom used to say. Where'd she get that from? God? Did God convict her of that? Scripture tells us to be convicted in our own mind, to allow the Holy Spirit to work within each one of us. Verses 6 through 9 and 14 here. Someone who thinks a day is sacred thinks that way for the Lord. Those who eat, eat for the Lord because they thank God. And those who don't eat for the Lord. And they thank the Lord also. We don't live for ourselves, and we don't die for ourselves. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we belong to God. This is why Christ died and lived, so that He might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Wow, that's a lot in there. What that says is Jesus Christ died for all of us. Whether you eat only a green leafy salad, or you eat something that eats a green leafy salad. I consider myself a vegetarian. No cows eat grass. I'm a second-hand vegetarian, right? That counts, right? See, honey? Look, I'm a vegetarian. Robin, you can stay out of this. I'm not talking to you right now. I'm talking to my wife. Whether we eat meat or not, go to church on Sunday, Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, or express any of our other liberties in Christ, when we do it for God, we are showing our allegiance to Him. Gosh, that sounds complicated. Doggone Lutherans over there, they don't do it like we do. They haven't quite figured out this God thing yet. You think they got it? I've told this story many times of a little Catholic nun that was at my dad's nursing home. And we were praying at his bedside and saying our prayers. And she was actually, we got along really well. And we laughed and we just told stories to one another. And we prayed and prayed and prayed. She would only pray the Lord's Prayer, though. I didn't quite get that. And she stopped before it was over, so I didn't quite get that. But we would laugh about those things. One day, right there at the end, I said, Sister Ann, said, aren't we going to be amazed when we get to heaven and you look over and see me and I look over and see you? I said, how are we going to end up at the same place? And you know what she said? I don't believe I think that way anymore. Those of us believers who believe in the one true God, we can do our thing in different ways. What makes us united as Christians? Trick question here. What unites us? Jesus Christ!
Amen.
If we profess Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're going up with the Pentecostals, doggone it. We're going up with all those other folks that aren't Methodists. Wednesday night dinners in heaven is going to be a real hoot, I think. Folks, it's not necessarily how we worship God. It's the fact that we worship God.
Amen.
The one true God. The one who sent Jesus Christ to die on a cross for us. That's why the Apostles' Creed is so important. People have come to me and said, well, how do I know, you know, my sister's been going to this church and they're saying some outlandish things. I said, you put it up to the test of the Apostles' Creed, and if it stands up to that test, they are a church that worships Jesus Christ. If not, run. Run, run. You see those videos they put on Facebook now where they're doing something, scare somebody, and the guy says, run! Boy, the guy takes off running. That's what I say. You go into church that does not stand the test of the Apostles' Creed, run. They're lying to you.
Amen.
They're trying to trick you. Be careful. You need to be unified. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 15, it speaks in there of all Christians, both weak and strong, will give an account of their works before Christ. In that scripture it says, those who are weak in faith perform works of wood, hay, and stubble. Those who are strong do works of gold, silver, and precious jewels. Christ will give the result of these works at His bema, or judgment seat. Are you ready to stand before God and give an account of yourself? I ask myself that a lot, and I'm like, boy, I got to be ready to go here. How many of us say, oh, I'll get to it later? If a meteorite falls on this church now and obliterates each one of us, and some of us said, I'll take care of that tomorrow. It's too late. It's too late in that moment. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, none of the good works we do, even gold works, will determine salvation, as it is granted only by grace through faith. Yippee! God's grace. We all share a common salvation. We're not to judge those whose faith is weaker. And remember that we all must give our own account someday.
Amen.
Don't worry about what someone else. You know, that's part of what I told Sister Ann. And I said, if I'm waiting up here to see you coming, I'm going to step over and say, hey, I know a little bit about her. Let me tell you what I know about her. It's none of my business. So when I look at each one of you and I say, that's none of my business, but I hope I'm there with you. When they're standing before God, that's going to be funny. And then I get slapped. We can't judge those who we deem weaker in faith. God loves us all.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I'm very thankful for that too.
Yes.
There's a lot of days I'm pretty doggone weak. Those two nights I slept without air conditioning, I did some grumbling. I sat in a recliner, actually. Let me tell you my beliefs of the storm. I suffered tremendously. One night we had lobster and shrimp. The day before, I cooked a huge pork butt in the crock pot. We had cold pork. It was just under very delicious. It wasn't perfect, but it was very delicious. But I suffered immensely during the storm. I did. It was awful. I appreciate your condolences. Nancy, you can't believe me, can you? We didn't suffer a bit. I was a little uncomfortable because of how it was all. But you know what? I didn't look up and see the stars or see clouds above me. I'm laying in a house in Cuba and looked up through the ceiling as I was laying on my air mattress and I saw the stars. And I said, wow, these people really suffer. In 10 days, I'm going home. I've got a nice, cool house to go to. But they're going to stay here. And they're going to lay in their bed at night and look up and see stars through their roof. Why, don't you know anything about that? Where you come from?
Yeah.
People can look through their roof and see the stars. You talk about having a, what do they call that? A hole in your roof that you put there on purpose. That's skylight. What if you got skylights and there's no light? Folks, we're blessed.
Amen.
And with that, we're to bless others.
Amen.
And I've told you this before. I went to Cuba to bless them, and I came back far more blessed than me. I didn't do anything for them. My ego said, boy, you're something going down there helping those folks. God said, go down there and let those folks, let me show you how real people help other people. And I didn't understand that until I went there. And I didn't understand that until we get together and we gather up cans of baked beans and succotash and squash and all those delicious vegetables. They do canned meat, right? Spam. Who loves Spam? Dan, I always bought Spam because as a kid my mom would fry Spam and it was a treat. I bought a case of Spam, took it home, and sat there for 6 months because we didn't get hit by a storm. And I said, you know what? I better cook some of that Spam. I got it out and cooked it. It was nasty. It was horrible. I don't know what my mom did to it, but it was a treat when we got it as a kid. When I had to cook it myself, it stunk. And I didn't like it. And I gave it to somebody less fortunate than me. I hope they were blessed by it. You know, come on. We go through our pantry and get out the old canned soup that's been in there since 1972 and say, oh, I got somebody to leave this now. The can's so rusty, the label's off. I don't know what's in there, but they'll be blessed by it. Are we giving them our first fruits, our best? Folks, we've got to rely on God's Word. There's obvious sin, immorality, adultery, hatred for one another. But God's Word straightens those things out, not us. We've got to rely on God to straighten out those issues of judgment. Whether or not we like the music this week in church, or whether or not this red carpet is just getting on my last nerve, those are things of opinion. Those are things that are ours that we shouldn't make others suffer for. Don't be a stumbling block to someone else's faith. I came across that phrase this week and I said, wow, I hope I'm never a stumbling block to someone's faith. You know what? We can beat people over the head with the Bible, but all we got to do is open it up and it will do the work for us.
Amen.
This is my small Bible. I'm not one of those 9-pound Bibles. When I hit you with that, you know you've been hit. That's not what God wants. God says, go over and sit down with them and open it up and let them look at it. Here, take a look. What does it say to you? If we're to be united as a church, we're to have patience with people, not to use God's word as a club, but simply open it to them and reprove with patience. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, and allow the double-edged sword to cut deep into their heart. You know there's a double-edged sword in here that cuts you to the heart. And that's God's sword. That's not ours. Okay, I think I've given you the point today. And in all things, remember one thing. What is it? You know this. I've been hammering this all summer. What is the one thing we're called to do? All right, I'm going back to May, March, and I'm going to start over. You're going to get all those over again, apparently you didn't listen. Love! Don't tell me that's a new concept for you. We've talked about it all summer. We're to love one another. In all things, love.
Amen.
Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for love. Father, we pray that we would be united. That unity in the church would mean those of strong faith will lift up those who are weak. Father, that we will lift up even those that eat vegetables. Father, I pray today that we would be the people of God, the people of Christ, Christ followers, not Christians. We're not Christians. That's a word man has made. We are Christ followers, and we love others. And for that, I am thankful and grateful. In Jesus' holy name, I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, let's stand for our closing hymn. They'll know we are Christians. And this is one of my favorite songs. Holy God, as we leave this place, let us leave as unified followers of Christ. Father, we love you. We know we've been through a lot this week, and those we love and care about and strangers alike. Father, I pray that you allow us to be a blessing in someone's life this week. Thou be with us as we leave this place. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.